I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Got a great advantage in our day in that we have the whole counsel of God, the full, complete Word of God, and the Bible. Our brethren before us and centuries and millennia before have not had it exactly so. They have pieces and parts, you know. In our country and the freedom that we have in our country, we've got the great blessing of the freedom that we've had and have, and the ready availability of the Word of God, and that we avail ourselves to that. In our consideration here this afternoon, we want to see how the Word of God, once again, plays into the situation that's at hand. In light of the message this morning about charity and faith and hope, being the three things that remain, and charity being the greatest of these is charity, we want to take a look at our brethren here as they are right after the crucifixion of our Lord and his burial. And granted, their situation is not exactly like ours, but yet in them we can see ourselves. And, they don't have the New Testament scriptures. And they don't have, they have the teaching of the Lord and the operation of the church, but they don't have, from our understanding, as much as we've been given in our day. It was coming. But we in them we can see ourselves, and we're not looking to rail on them in any way, but we want to look, as we consider their situation and the things that are revealed to us in this passage, how they were doing with these three of charity and faith and hope. Okay, I want you to we're going to get started here in Luke chapter 24, but I do want to read this passage in Romans chapter 5 to you. And if you want to hold your finger over there in Luke and come over here to Romans chapter 5, otherwise I'll just read it to you. In Romans chapter 5 verse number 1, it says there, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in our Lord, into this grace, the favor of our Lord, wherein we stand and rejoice," listen, "in hope of the glory of God." We rejoice in looking to be with our Lord one day. He's there, and he's waiting for the Father to tell him to come and get us. And not only so, But we glory in tribulations also. That's right here. Knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So we see here that tribulation, it does work patience, and Brother James reaffirms that to us in his epistle. Patience and having to wait, being in the situation to have to wait on the Lord to work out a thing and work in a thing, health-wise, salvation of a soul-wise, difficulty in your family, difficulty with the job, difficulty in the church, whatever's at hand, whatever that is. The tribulation works patience. We have to wait on our Lord. We have to beseech him. We need to go to him. We have faith in him. Then we can go to him in prayer, and he will give us grace and mercy and help in time of need. We've got this peace that we can rest in our Lord. Patience works experience. And this experience in waiting on our Lord, beseeching our Lord, seeking his face, and going to him with the distress at hand, and seeing and waiting for him to work, not getting in there and muddling things up ourselves. Well, sometimes we do. It gives us hope, doesn't it? That you know, we've seen our Lord work and deliver and help in this kind of thing before, or something like it, or we've seen him work in other things. You know, he can take care of this too. I sure don't know how, but he can. And hope maketh not ashamed. We won't be disgraceful. We won't be blushing. We won't be confused and confounded. Having this experience and having gone through some things, waited on our Lord to deliver and help us, and we know experientially that he can and will. Remember, he's promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? He'll never leave us or forsake us. Hopeth maketh not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And so, see, there we see that agape love, that love of our Lord, knowing his love for us is affirmed unto us, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, the Spirit of God within us, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit worker, the Comforter in the church. We have that blessing too. And this is added. Don't forget this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If he did that, is he going to let us down in anything else? Not at all. Not at all. And so, having that passage in the back of your mind, let's come over here to Luke chapter 24 and let's read. And again, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your prayers. And pray the Lord will just take this mess, this sickness from us, and we'll go on into spring and have a good time in our Lord, okay? Now, the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared. This is speaking of the women that had looked to try to do something as soon as they could, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And so this is, the Lord has been crucified. It's been this 3 days and three nights. The Lord is obviously risen from the dead. The sepulcher is open. The stone didn't need to be rolled back so Jesus could get out and so the disciples could get in. That affair with the guards that were sought by the Jews from Pilate, you know, they've been knocked down as they were dead, and, you know, seeing the glory of the angels that descended and the earthquake has happened and all that thing. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. You know what you and I say? Hallelujah, amen. You know, from our vantage point, it's like, woohoo, you know, that's great. I mean, the Lord's done it. He's risen from the dead. But listen to what's going on with them. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed. Now, what is much perplexed speak to in regards to this of charity and faith and hope in the Lord? Where do you think hope level is at? I'm a graph guy and a bar graph kind of guy. Where do you think hope is? I think hope's down here at zero. You know, for 3 days and three nights, they've just been waiting. Really, I think they've just been waiting for him to come get them. Myself. They are perplexed. They see that Jesus is not there anymore. And yes, they were with him. Yes, they heard him. We'll take a look at that here in a bit. Some of the things that the Lord told them. But they were perplexed. What do you think about faith in their Lord? Where's that? It's pretty low too. Faith in their Lord. I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm just telling you about what they are taking, what they're taking to themselves and dealing with this whole affair and how their perspective and look at Christ is. I think faith is down here at zero too, you know, because these they came. It wasn't that the women came without the spices. They came with the spices to anoint the dead body. 3 days and three nights later. You hear that? They came with the spices to anoint the dead body. I'm not railing on them. I'm just telling you what their thinking is. We want to see what their thinking is. They were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are angels. And as they were afraid, again, hope low, faith low. How are they doing about charity? They have a love and affection for their Lord. They do. And there is a sense that their love and their affection for their Lord has caused them to come to want to anoint him. But they're not in tune with what all this is about. They've got another track. Does that sound like anybody else that you know? They've got another priority. They've got another purpose. Or we're prone to that, aren't we? We got another purpose, another agenda. Our agenda and our purpose and our desire and our pursuits can get off track of the Lord's. And so these stand by and they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. See, rather than it being, hey, hallelujah, what the Lord said so, and what news do you have for us, fellas? You know, and I'm not to being looking to be outlandish in any way, but their hearts were not bent towards that. Their hearts were, he's dead, we need to anoint him, and he's missing, the body is missing, and now these two are here. They've got a lot of fear, and when heaven comes down, it's that way. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Now, consider the position of the angels. They know what's going on. You know, what do you think about the angels? Do you think these fellows have got frowns on their faces? You think these angels do? No, they're rejoicing. Their Lord, in the befuddlement of their angelic minds, they are glad that their Lord is alive. Because this whole thing about Jesus dying, the angels' desire to look into it, the apostle writes, and his operation amongst us, and they don't understand, I don't believe, how the Lord is so good to us. And so they say, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's alive. And this is a place where dead people are, but their bodies. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? So they've been in Judea for some days, maybe even weeks. And the angels say, don't you remember what he said to you? He's alive. Remember what he told you, what he taught to you and preached to you, even up in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Hold your place here and just want to back up. We'll just back up in this book. Then there's many accounts in the Gospels. Let's take a look here at Luke 9. Luke 9. The Lord didn't hint around with this. He was very open and very clear. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 22, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and be slain and be raised the third day. That's the Lord's expectation, right? Slain. You know what that means? Murdered. Killed. And raised the third day. I'm going to be killed and raised the third day. Here lately, it's the Lord's blessed with it at the jail to make that point very clear. You know, if I told you Tuesday I'm going to be killed and then I'll see you on Friday, I mean, it'd be laughable, wouldn't it? It would be laughable for me to say that, because when you and I are killed, when you and I die, we stay dead. We just know that, but not our Lord. That's what he told him. I'm going to be killed one day, and then 3 days and three nights later, I'll be back alive again. Don't worry. It'll all be okay. That's what he had told him. That's our Lord. In Luke chapter 13, take a look here in verse number 32. Luke chapter 13, verse number 32. Here they've threatened him with Herod. Boy, the Lord's afraid of Herod. He's not afraid of Herod. Luke chapter 13, verse 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. That's a little bit more vague than others, but we've got accounts in the other Gospels, in Matthew and Mark easily, where the Lord told him, said, I'm going to be given over to the hands of wicked men, going to be abused, going to be killed, and going to be alive again. It's going to be that way. And so back in Luke 24, the angels remind them of that. Remember, and it says here, he's not here, The Son of Man, this is what the Lord told him, verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. We need to be reminded. And you know what? They'll do us well. They'll help. And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11. That's the 11 apostles. The 12 less Judas. They're there all huddled together in the upper room yet, it seems. And it says here, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest, because there was more in the church than the 11 apostles. Listen to what it says here. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, how are we doing on hope? Zero. Negative. How are we doing on faith in the Lord? Faith in him and what he has said. Faith in him and what he has promised. We're down there at a low ebb too, aren't we? How are we doing on charity and on love for the Lord? Love, not affection. They love their Lord. They're grieved about their Lord as anyone that would have someone that would be killed or that would die. They have affection for their Lord, but how are they doing with that agape love that the Lord has shown in regards to their love for their Lord and what they've heard from him and their action? It's down here flatline too, isn't it? It is. They did not believe the women. Would these women ever want to lie to anybody? Would these women want to come and lie to the church? It's dangerous to lie to the church. Don't go there. Don't go lying to the church because you're lying to the Lord and lying to the Spirit of God. But would these look to do that? Would these look to create something and make something? Yet flat out, the apostles believed them not. That fellowshipping with the Lord, that nearness to the Lord is just not there, is it? And what yields from it? Well, a bunch of sin against the Lord and a bunch of doubt. Again, we're not railing on them. We're learning from them because this is in the scripture to help you and me. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher. You know, Brother Peter evidently was convicted about it a little bit, wasn't he? And that's good. It's good to be convicted. We all need to be. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, having it all figured out and understanding what the Lord said. What's it say? Wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And granted, they are there on the leading edge of this happening, the Lord fulfilling his gospel. They are there, and we understand that. But he had heard what the Lord said, but forgot. He had heard the promise of the Lord and the way the Lord spoke about the day of his death, and then 3 days and three nights later, he had heard that. But now he's wondering, who took the body? Why is he not here? What's going on? What's this all about? At that which was come to pass. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went in the same day into the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, 7-8 miles. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. So they're conversing back and forth. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, so these two are on their way to Emmaus, 7-8 mile trip from Jerusalem, and they're talking together about what's going on, because it's the subject on the top of the list, okay? And so they are discussing that. They commune together, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Do you talk with Jesus? Tell you what, we need to talk with our Lord. We need to talk to our Lord just like these two talk to their Lord. It'll do us well to help us to have charity and faith in our Lord and hope in him in our lives. We've been given that privilege for us to talk with our Lord. We rejoice with one another and we complain to one another. And you know what? We do well to do that with our Lord. Well, the complaining we shouldn't be doing will probably get straightened up. And then those things that we need his help with, which is all a life, isn't it? Will be helped out. Listen to what it says here. If I can turn here quickly to it and read it to you. It's one of those. Nope. There it is. Micah 6:8. Listen to what it says. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. When you walk along with somebody, you can't hardly help but talking to them, talk to them, fellowship with them, visit with them. And so the Lord comes up to these, and it says here in verse number 16, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he did that. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? So they are sad. How are they doing on hope? It's low. How are they doing on faith in their Lord? They love him, but he's dead. We're going to see some words that are here that are used. How are they doing on charity and being obedient to their Lord and loving their Lord by their actions? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, and it seems to me, indeed, that this is Cleophas and his wife, Mary. It tells us in John chapter 19, verse 25, that Cleophas has a wife named Mary. And that's what I would suspicion these two are, who they are. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem has not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, what things the Lord did? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet indeed and word, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. Not we do trust, but it's past tense. It didn't come to pass like we thought that it was. Remember, they are sad, the Lord has picked up on. They don't have expectation, but they're sad. And they had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Nothing's changed in 3 days. Nothing's changed in 3 days. 3 days since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. So what we read here in the early part of the chapter, they were there before they left on this little trip to Emmaus, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. But yet they are sad. Even though, see, they didn't believe Mary, and Mary and the other ones, did they? they didn't believe them, did they? And they're perplexed too. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulcher and found even so as the women had said, but him they saw not, referring to Peter and John, as they went and so on. I want you to listen to what our Lord says. Then he said unto them, O fools. Kind of a stiff name to be called by the Lord, but you know what? The Lord just cuts to the chase and lets us know what's going on. He said, don't be a fool. Don't be unintelligent, unwise. And instead of having the knowledge of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord carry on in your old sensual, carnal way. That's what's going on. They're dealing with what they can see and what they can touch, rather than what their Lord has told them in those words. You know, the word of the Lord is settled and solid forever. And we need to believe and take to ourselves what he has said. We need his help as he helps these that are here to believe him. It's part of faith in our Lord to believe him and what he has said unto us, and to know that it's so. And he said to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe." Slow of heart to believe. Believe first what the Lord has said before you take a consideration to look at or believe anything else. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Believe the word of God. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Yes, he should. It's the foreordained determinate counsel of God that he would do these things for our sakes. And he told them and told them and told them. And he came meek and lowly. Our brethren that saw our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, they knew that the Lord, by seeing him, they knew he belonged in a different state in which he was living, didn't they? I mean, they saw the glory of the Lord revealed and his clothes white and glistering and his face shining as the sun. Peter said, "We got to do something. Let's build some tabernacles." You know, he's just talking outside of his head. He felt like he had to say something. He said, "Doesn't your love for me reach to hear the word that I have said?" And it tells us in Jeremiah that the Lord has magnified his word above all his name. And he's done so for a reason. Because it's that good word of God. And that instruction is what you and I need. And so the word of God has come here to the forefront. Again, even by our Lord Jesus, he's there resurrected and with them, but he brings up the word of God again. Does the word of God, does the Bible, does the scripture weary you? Well, it can weary our bodies to read it and to study it and pursue it. But I tell you what, it is what our Lord has said is what we need. That's what sinners need for salvation. We need what our Lord, and see that word of God, as we mentioned this morning, that word of God and the doctrine, the teaching that we get from the word of God and that we believe and hold to is part of our faith in our Lord, part of our love for our Lord. You really love somebody, you're going to be interested in what they do. You and I really love someone, we're going to be interested in what they say, especially with our Lord and having understanding that our Lord, the words that come from his lips are the word that we need for living and for life. He's the one that's called us. He's the one that has saved us. He's the one that has promised he will come and get us. He's the one that has promised that he will receive us again into himself. What our Lord has said is the greatest. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. But it is about him. It's not about you and me. It is about him. And they drew nigh into the village. What do you think is going on with hope and faith now? Well, what do you think's going on with that? I kind of think that they're coming up a little bit, don't you? A good dose of the word of God from the teacher himself, the teacher, our teacher, our Lord. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther, and they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." You know what? A little bit of time with the Lord will make you want some more time with the Lord. Amen. Our Lord said in John chapter 15, "Abide in me, and I abide in you, and there indeed will be a blessing." Let me read it to you. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." So, won't you stay a little bit longer? Stay with us just a little bit longer. He's withholding from their eyes. They don't see that it's him yet. But I tell you what, have they enjoyed it? Has all this about Christ and the things that he was to do coming from the prophets and from the scriptures and the things concerning himself, have they depressed them even more, or are they beginning to help them? Abide with us, for it is toward evening. Note that time. It's coming on time. They want to quit this traveling for the day. The day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Preached that message some time ago about we need the presence of the Lord. You know, how do we have the presence of the Lord? Brother Moses asked for it. Brother Moses asked for the presence of the Lord. A man that walked with God and being threatened by the children's disobedience that the Lord would not go with them into the land of Canaan. Moses said, please don't send us from this place unless you go with us. And then a man desiring the presence of the Lord, having walked with the Lord, having been called by the Lord. You know what then? That wasn't enough. He wanted to see the glory of the Lord too. And the Lord showed him his glory. And you know what happened to Brother Moses then? Remember how it was? How the account tells us in the book of Exodus, when he came down from the mount, he shined that radiance and that glory of the Lord to those round about him. Don't you want to shine for the Lord? Tell you what, going to have to spend some time with the Lord. Going to have to desire the presence of the Lord. Going to have to desire to see the glory of the Lord, that we might shine for him. He went to tarry with them. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. How do you think we're doing with hope and faith and charity for our Lord? How do you think they're doing? Well, honey, that was great if it is Cleophas and his wife. Honey, that was great. Let's go ahead and go to bed. We got a long day tomorrow. No, no, no. Listen, it changed. It took them from their plan to what the Lord has at hand. Look at this. Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Yeah, boy. It will. Fellowship with the Lord will bless you, will stir you and me, will help us. For our Lord to talk with us, do you and I talk to the Lord? While he opened to us the scriptures, Lord, teach me today. Lord, help me to see marvelous truths out of your word. As Brother Moses asked the Lord, show me your way, not just what you're doing, not just your acts, but show me your way. They canceled the reservation, didn't they? And they rose up the same hour, verse 33, and returned to Jerusalem. How are they doing on faith and hope and charity regarding our Lord? I tell you what, they are renewed in it, aren't they? The same hour returned to Jerusalem. What do you think about the 7 or 8 mile trip going back? You think it took us just as much time? I think they were moving. And returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And they, those at Jerusalem, the brethren there, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. So now Peter has seen the Lord, and they told what things were done in the way, Cleophas and his wife, and how he was known to them in breaking bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. How are they doing with charity, love for their Lord, unto action and obedience? How are they doing with faith in their Lord? How are they doing with hope in their Lord? It's getting better, isn't it? But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now, yeah, there is doubt there yet amongst them. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? You know, that can happen to you and me, thoughts in our hearts. We've got to watch out for thoughts in our hearts. We need our thoughts and our hearts to be from what our Lord has said, what our Lord has directed us in, what our Lord has promised. He said, we'll get it over with here. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. It's really me. It's not a hologram. I'm not a ghost. I'm flesh and blood. I'm right here back with you again. I'm here. Handle me and see. And when he had thus spoken, he showed to them his hands and his feet. Verse 41, and while they believe not for joy, they're befuddled, they're in a mental muddle, and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? This will push the point home more. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You know, we talk about the Lord and his attributes and how he has exhibited those attributes towards you and me, towards his saints, towards his children over the centuries and millennia. Isn't it a great blessing, as sorry as we are and can be, that our Lord loves us? that's the graciousness of the Lord. That's the mercy of the Lord. That's the great love of our Lord for us. The Lord could have been looking for a group to do better. Not that he would have found them amongst mankind, but, you know, he could have been looking for a group to do better. But that's what he's done for us, is he's brought us a long, long way in saving us. And he's brought us a long, long way in that he calls us his children. He has made us his children and his friends. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding. And we need that. Lord, please, open our understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. What do you think happened then? How's hope doing? How's hope doing? I tell you what, hope's doing good. Hope in the Lord and what he's promised. You know what? Those promises he's made, there's something to that. We need to grab a hold of those. How about faith in our Lord? You know what? He did everything that he said he was going to do. Actually, he's done everything that he said he's going to do, but when you and I look on it, it's more. It's more. It's great. It's just fabulous and wondrous. You know what? What's going on with their charity? Oh, they have affection for their Lord. They love him. They've loved him from the time that he's called them. But you know what? Now they're getting charged to go and do what our Lord has given them to do. You remember Brother Pittman's messages. I tell you what a blessing that was. It fits, dovetails right in with this and these thoughts. You know, they are being motivated to love as their Lord has loved. We can never match the Lord, but we can go and pursue to love our Lord and be obedient to him and the call that he's given unto us, and to love our neighbor as ourself. He opened their understanding of the scriptures, they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, for this very purpose, that repentance and remission, that is payment of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There's no one else that can pay for sinners' sins than Jesus Christ. No one. There's no other payer of sins. There's no other one that calls sinners to repent of their sins before him. See, salvation's free. Salvation's of the Lord. He's the saver of souls. His command unto sinners is repent of your sins before God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, this is your calling. This is your message. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. He said, you're the group to do it. You know what it's going to take for them to do it? Charity, faith in their Lord, and hope in him. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take for them to be obedient, for them to have not a begrudging obedience, but a willing obedience to their Lord. It's going to take those things in place, isn't it? They are the things that remain. You know what's happening to the church right here? The church is growing up. The Lord's church there in Jerusalem is growing up, coming to maturity. He's going to be with them for another 40 days until waiting till that day of Pentecost. When he publicly sanctions his church before the world. And ye are witnesses of these things. That's you and me, brother and sister here at Olmsted Baptist Church. That's us. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Speaking of this work of the Comforter, I believe that what he's promised them in that, and that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would work in his stead in the church. But tarry ye into Jerusalem until you be endued with power, that empowerment from the Lord from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Remember? And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Amen. Great joy. And we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. How do you think that they're doing on charity and love for their Lord? I think that they're doing well, aren't they? Amen. How are they doing about faith in their Lord? Yes, this is for real. We've been called to this. It's what our Lord has done. He saved us. He's called us. He's built this church and put us in it. And then we've got a mission to do. We've got a purpose to pursue. And what about that hope? He's coming back. He will save sinners as we go forth and tell them not about us, but about him. May our Lord help us. And thankful for the way he does.